Lord Jesus, we just ask for your blessing over these children and their teachers, Lord. We pray that your spirit rest heavy in that place, Lord. We pray, Father God, that you continue to build this ministry, continue to build the teachers and empower them to help these kids move into the mature followers of Jesus Christ that you've called them to. We just ask, Father God, for fun and excitement and just your spirit to rest heavy in that place. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the holiday weekend here at the Vineyard Community Church. We are so thankful you've decided to join us today. Everybody in our online people. So what I wanted to encourage the people who are watching at home, go ahead, go outside, sit on your front porch just so you can experience the same thing we're experiencing. You can still do it from home. That's an amazing thing, too. No, we're here. There's something super special about just being under the sun, having the sky above us. That's amazing. Let's just take a second. Let's just feel the sun on our faces. Thank you, Lord. Just thank you, Jesus, for this beautiful day, the sunshine, the blue sky. But most of all, that we don't have a roof between us and you. It's us in the heavens today, and we just thank you for that. Let us not ever look lightly on this opportunity to be able to do this. Jesus, we give you all the praise, we give you all the glory. And we just thank you for times like this. We thank you.
You build your community one heart at a time.
That we can come together. No matter where we're at, no matter what kind of week we've had, no matter where our life is today, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you that it's all about you. And it's not about us. And that's awesome. Just give it away to you. Give it away. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, if you have a neighbor, say good morning to him. And this morning we are going to all welcome Anna Marie, so we can say good morning to Anna Marie right over here.
Community member of the day. And what she doesn't know is that everybody here, she's giving a dollar to. So that's really a nice, kind gift from Anna Marie. She may have to go to the bank, but we'll let her car out just for those things. No, so whatever position.
Amazing. We'll put the top down. That's amazing. I like that. That's awesome. I like that. If you guys feel like you
want to take your roofs off, you can do that too. I mean,
but let's just turn our hearts, lift our voices, and let's give praise to our King of Kings.
'Cause here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, you're all together. Altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Sing Light of the World, here we go. Light of the World.
Oh.
Declares your majesty. I'm trying hard to keep this guitar in tune, but this heat is stretching. Give me 1 second, please. To a musician, a guitar out of tune is like nails on a chalkboard. Alright. That's a little better. Universe declares. Because your love never fails.
Your love never fails, never gives. Coordinated and working smoothly together. Jim and Denise appreciate your patience and support as they take on more responsibility while Brett and Teresa transition out of their senior leadership roles in the community. On task with our transition council's advice, Denise and Jim are busy connecting with some current and potential leaders to check in and see how God is guiding and directing them on a personal and servant level. Brett and Teresa are excited to begin a new chapter in this journey as they have purchased a 24-foot camper. In true Paulson fashion, they got it, filled it up, and took it off to Minnesota and Wisconsin. They spent some time celebrating the life of Brent's aunt, who recently passed away, and embarked on what they're calling Sibling Reunion Tour 2025. For the first time in years, they were able to visit with each of their siblings while on their 2.5-week tour. What a great adventure. Brett and Teresa will finish their roles as senior leadership on Sunday, October 12th. There will be some time for celebration and fellowship immediately after the service. Jim and Denise will be installed as co-pastors on Sunday, October 19th, during the morning service, with a celebration and fellowship immediately following afterwards. Starting November 1st, Brett and Teresa will be taking a much-needed 3 to 4 month sabbatical as they begin life's new adventure. The Paulsons and Dornings appreciate all of your prayers in this continued process. And here is Pastor Brett.
Only 2 feet closer to the sun, but it feels a little bit more than that. You know, it's kind of ironic. We all kind of say in the middle of January or whatever, but
I can't wait until it gets hot out, and then
say, you know, I'm not going to complain when it gets hot out. You know how we do that?
Yeah.
And then when it gets hot out, we're like, man, it's so hot out, and sweating and so terrible. We have short memories. And today we're going to talk about God the Father, but it's from Psalm 103, which is more than just a psalm about God the Father. Can you hear me way in back? Yeah? Okay. I can't tell. So by the way, those of you, if you're in your car and you have your AC on, go ahead and keep your AC on, but you can tune into 91.9 Vineyard on the Vine. Right? I don't have any. I would come up with a weird name for myself, but I can't think of one.
Yeah.
So today we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about remembering and our Father, and how that kind of fits together, and why. And how, and where, and who we are to remember. So, to begin with, I want to start with something familiar to some of us, but not familiar to all of us. It was something that I grew up with. It's called the Apostles' Creed. And it was a creed that was put together in the 4th century by the church, some of the church fathers, and it encompasses the whole of what we believe in a very short, concise statement. It says, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, who was born of the Virgin Mary, who suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose from the dead and ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church. When it says the Holy Catholic Church, it doesn't mean Catholic like Catholic. It means Catholic means complete, the whole church. We believe in the whole church, don't we? Don't we? People who believe Baptists are part of the whole church, and Methodists are part of the Baptist, the whole church, and even Vineyard is part of the whole church. communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and everlasting life. Amen. And before we begin today, let's pray. And if you get too hot, go back in the shade, get something to drink. Reminds me many years ago we did it at Pig Roast. We were doing concerts outside, and we were doing a pig roast, and one of our members talked one of his friends into, we had to, when you roast the pig, somebody has to sit with it all night. I'm not
quite sure why. I don't know if the pig tries to get away or something, and you have to stand there, make sure it doesn't escape. But anyway, so I came at like
7 in the morning, and I asked this guy, said he'd been here from like 12 till like 7 in the morning, and I said, is there anything you want? And he goes, yeah, 12-pack. And I'm like, okay. So I went and got him a 12-pack and came back and gave it to him. Anyway, some of you are like, oh, how dare you get him a 12-pack? That's fine. He's sitting up in the heat all night. Like a pig that was trying to escape. Anyway, so Father, would you come? And would you not just help us to remember, but help us to remember in a deep way the things that are super important and that really mean so much and have so much application for us to live a full and whole life. I pray in Jesus, in your name, Jesus, help me to speak this morning. Amen. So let me read the psalm first. Praise the Lord, O my soul, or praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He has made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever, nor does he treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquity. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. As the Father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower in the field. The wind blows over it, and it's gone, and its place is remembered no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, and those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord. This week I was thinking, in the last year or so, I've been thinking about Scripture when it talks about us, when it talks about our lives being like grass that grows up in the morning and is burned up by the afternoon sun. Now, we don't experience that as much here in Cleveland, Ohio, but if you lived in the desert, and were a desert people like most of the Israelites were, you would experience that. You'd see something blossom up in the morning, and then it would be burned down in the afternoon. By the way, I was thinking about that when I was watching all of you out here, thinking, man, it's so hot out here, and I was thinking, think about it, what it was like for those people that had the 5 or 15,000 or whatever, sat before Jesus and listened to him preach when it was in the middle of, they were up on a mountain a little bit, but it was in the middle of the desert, right? Or when the people had to listen to Moses do the Ten Commandments.
Now I think that Moses probably did the Ten Commandments quicker than my sermon is, but still.
So anyway, just something to think about, to guilt you all a little bit about when you're sitting here feeling hot. Yeah, I was thinking about this whole idea that we're like grass that grows up, and as you get older, time literally does seem like it goes faster. My dad's theory on that was, you know, when you're two, a year is a, you know, half of your life or a third of your life or whatever. When you're four, it's a quarter of your life. When you get to be older, 66, 67, 70, 75, it's 1/75th of your life. And it feels like sometimes like I go from Christmas to Christmas to holiday, and it seems like everything just zooms past. And so one of the things I really want to encourage you with this morning is to really embrace the moments that we live in. Embrace the moments that you live in. These moments. This moment. These times. Don't always be thinking about what's going to happen or what might happen or be anxious about this or anxious about that. Jesus says that. Why be anxious about tomorrow? For tomorrow has enough cares for itself. And who by being anxious can even add one cubit or one foot to their life? Live in the moment. And one of the ways we can do that is by learning to live out this psalm. And the psalm is talking about the who, what, when, where, those kind of things of living a full, complete life. In fact, Tim Keller described the book of Psalms is like God's counseling casebook, not God's counseling workbook, but God's counseling casebook, where he shows different cases of life. You know, a casebook is where you see a bunch of different cases in life. And what we get to do is see a bunch of cases in life. Like in some of the Psalms, we see David as he's responding for his sin against Bathsheba. And we see other places where David is writing about how he dealt with being attacked by his enemies and things like that. And this psalm is really interesting because the person he's writing to isn't somebody out there. It's not somebody down there. It's not his enemies. It's not the angels. It's not even the community so much. At the end he does a little bit. But he's speaking to himself. You ever talk to yourself? I think we all do. We all talk to ourselves. We're all telling ourselves stuff all the time. When we get freaked out, when we're freaked out about something, when we, like this morning, neither of my printers work. I hate printers. Printers are from Satan. They're devised in the depths of hell. They never work when you need them to. And then when you don't need them to, they work fine. And so I was sitting there this morning, and last night too, trying to get two. We have two printers, just in case one doesn't work. I think we need three, because two of them don't work now. But I'm sitting there and I'm just getting all frantic and I'm freaking out. And I'm, you know, Teresa's going, "Honey, it's going to be okay." And I'm like, "No, it's not. If I don't have a printer, how will I know what I'm talking about? You know, I barely know what I'm talking about without it having something in front of me. How will I do it?" You know, and what that comes from is just the anxiety comes from, first of all, we're literally, like it says, we are dust, right? We're dust. We're dust. We get anxious. But it also comes from sometimes the
lack of trust that, okay, God's gonna take care of this.
This isn't coming because you've like wasted time and waited till the last minute. Or that isn't why any of this is happening. This is happening because it's happening. I don't know why the
printers decided not to work.
But the psalmist says, "Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being praise his holy name." Now what he's saying, he's talking about, and then he says, "Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Don't forget his benefits. Don't forget God. So who's he speaking to? He's speaking to his inmost being. And what's he speaking about? Not forgetting all his benefits. There's the who and there's the what. The who, my inmost being. Now, what does that mean, inmost being? And what does it mean? Don't forget his benefits. Now, we don't forget a lot of things. You know, we don't remember a lot of things. I don't remember a lot of things. I bet, you know, it was really kind. God is so kind to me. As I've gotten a little bit older, my memory doesn't work like it used to. And I've discovered, I don't want to say a trick because it's not a trick, but it's just God's faithfulness. I've discovered that when I ask God, he helps me remember things. And so, last night I was trying to remember this book that I was going to quote from today. I said, Lord, I can't remember the name of this book. Would you help me? And as soon as I said that, it just came to me. And other times I'll ask him, I'll say, Lord, help me to find something. I won't go looking for that thing. I'll go looking for something else, and there that thing will be. You know, God is just really kind that way. I'm really glad, too, because I know that, you know, there's going to come a time when my memory is not as good as it is now. Why am I here? Oh, I'm preaching. Okay. Anyway, okay. So we pray, we're speaking and admonishing his inmost being. He's admonishing it not to forget his inmost, not to forget all his benefits. Now, remembering, the term here actually
has to do with remembering. And it's a term that's, and Tim Keller talks about this, it's not a term that means
to just not remember, like when your wife tells you, or your girlfriend or whatever tells you to go to the grocery store and get something, and you get everything except what she told you to get. You forget that one thing that she told you to get. When you're trying to remember somebody's name who comes up for prayer or comes up and greets you, and you're like, oh crap, I know this person. Now I have to say, Lord, bless my brother or my sister. I'm giving away my secrets. I just can't remember on the spot. He's not really talking about that. But what he's talking about is remembering and then remembering. Remembering is like when the disciples are in the boat, the big storm comes up and it's about to sink. And they wake Jesus up and they say, Lord, don't you care that we're about to sink? And he turns to him and he says, don't you have any faith? And then he turns to the wind and the waves and he rebukes them and he says, quiet, be still. Now, what didn't they remember there? They didn't remember that God is omnipotent, that he's omniscient, that he's not. Now, did they not remember intellectually that he's omnipotent or omniscient?
No, they knew he was omnipotent and omniscient, right?
I mean, they knew that. They were good Jewish boys. They knew all that. They knew that. They knew that he was...
They knew. They remembered.
But there's a different kind of remembering when it comes to that, isn't there? It's the kind of remembering that's like, oh, yeah, God's going to rescue it. God isn't going to let this sink because this is his son, and this is his mission, and this is his purpose, and God is faithful.
Example of this happened to me it was quite a few years ago, actually, now, and it happened one day. I was walking through the church, and Jim was sitting. We used to put our... We had this, you know, computers have changed over the years, so we used to type in all of our announcements on a screen that would rotate at the back, kind of in the back of the foyer. And Jim was back there doing that, I think. And I was walking by with my computer doing something, and Jim said, "Dude, computer's on fire." I was like, "Oh." And I just kind of, I don't remember this. I'm probably not getting this exactly right, but I just kind of remember going, "Oh," kind of walking by, and all of a sudden, so I remembered, you know, I remembered what he said, yeah, dude, your computer's on fire. And then I looked down, and I realized my computer was on fire.
And then I really remembered that my computer's on fire. And then I remembered there's a battery, a lithium battery in my computer. And you know what happens when lithium batteries catch on fire? They go boom, boom. And so there's the difference between remembering, hey dude, your computer's on fire, and remembering, dude, your computer's on fire. So what are some of the things that we're to remember, that we're to have God burn deep into our souls? One pastor put it like this. He said, if you need to bend a piece of metal, you can put it in a vise or something, and you can pull it really hard sometimes and bend it. You need to put a 45-degree angle in or something. The problem with it is when you do that, the strands or the molecules of the metal get torn and ripped, and it becomes a lot less strong, and it doesn't work as well. And he said, but if you take that same metal and you heat it up to a certain temperature, you can just gently bend it. Without damaging, you can reshape it, you can remold it. And part of what God wants to do to us this morning is to take and heat up our hearts and heat up our souls and to remold them into the image of His Son. And that's different than just going, okay, I'm gonna try harder next time not to look at that pornographic thing, or I'm going to try harder next time not to do that. That's when you're taking the metal and you're just trying to bend it. When you're letting the Spirit of God come and just burn deep into your soul and say, Lord, please come and transform me and change me and help me not be so grumpy. Help me not be so anxious. Help me not be so fearful. Burn deep within me the image of your Son, Jesus. So that I look more like Him and I live more like Him in these days that are like grass that burns, don't have to go by so fast without me finding life in them. So he says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being, in the deepest depths of who we are, praise His holy name, and forget not all His benefits. Now, I'll get into some ways we can forget not His benefits, but one of the things that I've been doing that does help me forget not His benefits is I try almost every night to just, before I listen to, I put on earpods with noise cancellation. I don't know why.
It's just, I sleep better that way.
And what I do first, I usually have a store book on, it's not a book on tape, it's a book on digital, you know, an online book. But isn't that funny how life has changed in the last 20, 25 years, you know?
Used to be
books on tape were a big thing, you know, and then books on book was a big thing back in the, you know, the 14, whatever, 60s, 70s. And now we just have books on devices. But what I do is I try and play some of Bible Gateway and listen to it before I listen to my book on book. And some of that does permeate. Some of it permeates. Some of it burns its way into who I am. Not there yet. Won't be completely there yet until I'm there. But I don't want my life, this life that burns up so fast, that's over so quick. I don't want
to live it in anxiousness,
in fear, in grumpiness, in anxiety, in angst. So what does He do? What do we praise Him for? And again, let me read some of them, then I'll explain this. It says, who forgives all your sins Forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, redeems
your life from the pit,
crowns you with love and compassion, satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like eagles. So it gives you a list of things. Now, does he always heal all our diseases? Does he always deliver us from the pit? Does he always crown us with love and compassion? Does he always satisfy our desires with good things? Yeah, he does. Not always here, right? I mean, one day are we going to get sick and die? There's that reality and those kind of things. But this is a psalm. This is a psalm. He's singing in exuberance. He's using hyperbole. And it's okay to do that, right? How many love songs? I mean, how would a love song be with, if the love song instead of was love? My love is as deep as the ocean. Instead, how about if we went,
it's not really as deep as the ocean. It's really more like a little mud puddle. Or maybe not even like a mud puddle. Maybe
my love really isn't that deep, honey. You know, write that on your next anniversary card. See how that goes over. My love is deep as the ocean. We don't want to be people who exaggerate, but I also want to use hyperbole to express the magnificence of God and the magnificence of his provision for us, that he does forgive us all our sins through Jesus, that he does crown us with love and compassion, that he does satisfy our desire with good things. Does that mean no bad things ever happen? No, it doesn't. The bad things do happen. I've had a lot of bad things happen. I don't remember a lot of them, to be honest. You know, when I think about, you know, if I think about the litany of things that I've been through in the last 5 or 10 years, it doesn't seem that bad. You know, I spent a year not being able to walk because of my Achilles tendon, and then I spent a year not being able to walk because of my hip, and I spent almost not a year, but quite a while not be able to walk because of my knee. Then I spent about a year not being able to use my left arm because of a motorcycle crash. And then, you know, I spent a while almost dying and stuff like that. But you know what? Those things, I would live and say that he has filled my life with love and compassion. That's what he's done to me, for me. That's what he's done for me. We can focus on two different things in life. We can praise the Lord, all my soul. Praise the Lord and forget and remember all of your horrible things that have happened. Or we can forget not all his benefits. Or remember all his benefits. And what you remember is going to determine how your life goes. If you just remember, you know how funny we are with things?
100 people could tell me a wonderful thing about this sermon.
Say, that was a really great sermon. I really love your sermon, Brent. And then one person could come up and say, hey, Brent, that really sucked. I can't believe the exegetical work you did on that. What were you doing, you know? Did you do that when you were, like, out fly fishing or something? What thing would I remember? The one thing that hit me here. What do we live in at work? When your coworkers say something, when your boss says something, what do you remember? The 50 things that they said that were good or that one thing? What burns itself into your soul is going to direct your life? And I want us to encourage us to be filled with the fullness of who God is,
because if our lives are filled with his love, with his eternal love, with the fact that he loves us so much, with the fact that we are so
beloved by him, that we become like Teflon to all the other stuff in life. And it just bounces off of us. Now the problem is, we're like Teflon to all the things that we hear from God. Nothing can separate you from the love that is in Christ Jesus. But then on the way home, you get a flat tire. Oh Lord, where are you? Why have you abandoned me? Why have you Lord, where are you, oh Lord? Where are you, Lord? You know? You chip a tooth. Oh God, why have you forsaken me? No, I don't mean to make fun of those things. They're not big things. But I want to be somebody who's sticky. You know, I have some pans at home. We just got this one. We got rid of our Teflon stuff because it's not supposed to be good for you. So we got cast iron.
Because it is supposed to be good for you until they decide it's not supposed to be good for you.
But anyway, one of them isn't quite cured, so everything sticks to it. And then we have the old Teflon, nothing stuck to. We need to pray today and ask God, God, make the things stick to us and need to stick to us. Make the things fall off of us, fall off of us. He heals all our diseases. Does he? Yeah, one day.
John Wimbrow used to say that. Just people ask him, do you believe everybody gets healed? He goes, everyone who believes in Jesus gets healed. He goes, absolutely. Some people get healed here, some people get healed there.
Does it matter? Long run, probably do. Redeems you from the pit. Has he done that? If you believe in Jesus, you've been redeemed from the pit, people. From separation from God. He works righteousness and justice. Righteousness and justice for the oppressed. Is that fully going on? No, but we can work towards it, can't we? Can't we make a phone call? Can we make a phone call to our legislators and congressmen about the things we feel are unjust right now going on in our world?
Yeah, we
can. Yeah. One day, will God make everything right and just? Yeah, he will. It says, one day, let justice roll down like a river. Let justice roll like a river. Let your justice roll like a river, Lord. And one day, the earth will be filled with the glory of God like the waters fill the sea. He goes on, he said, he has made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. And then he quotes from Moses when Moses encountered God, but he changes something here. He says, the Lord is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Now he's quoting from Exodus 34 when Moses wanted to see God and he saw God. But then David changes the words. Instead of saying, you know, slow to anger and abounding in love, forgiving to thousands and ten thousands, but will by no means leave sin unpunished. That's what it says in Exodus. You know what David says? He changes it. He gospelizes it. He says, he will not always accuse. He will not harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. Or repay us according to our iniquities. If he did, we would all be dust. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us.
If you're a person who struggles with condemnation,
with feeling guilty, with shame, think about how, I want you to just think about, to let the fire of God burn into you. How far as the east is from the west. And I want you, and if you can't let go of that sin, start walking east until you get to the end of east. Will you ever get to the end of it? No. Why? Because the east and the west never intersect. They're eternal. So what does that mean? As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. When it says God has forgotten our sins, does that mean God kind of went, wait a second, 1976, it seems like, kind of forgot, what did you do? I forgot, you know, is that it? No, that isn't it. What it means is God has removed it. He doesn't hold it against us.
And then we come to the Father passage. As the Father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. And the term he uses is this beautiful term of it's actually a term, it talks about Father there, but it's a term of a nursing mother.